very influential in your spiritual development that put you where you are today. Somebody said once that when I look at my life, I think of a turtle on a fence post, because I know that that turtle didn't get there by itself. Somebody had to put it there, right? So I'm a turtle on a fence post. You're a turtle on a fence post. You can look back, and I'm sure you can find people who are very significant in your spiritual journey who put you where you are today. And one of those people for me is a guy that's going to be sharing with you in a few moments. His name is Charles Brown. Charles is a current RCMP officer in Lac La Biche, just north of here. And when he was part of my life, he was a police officer in this small little town called Middleton. And he was a Sunday school teacher of mine for about 5 or 6, 7 years. This is probably 25 years ago, as we reminisced about this, that this happened. And he made a cameo appearance in this church back in April, right in the middle of a sermon, and kind of threw me by surprise. And I had to stop the sermon, and he came up on stage and introduced himself. Anyway, so we've connected since then. And I thought, what better way to close off our Philippians series than to have this guy who is insatiably consumed with Jesus share and see Philippians through his eyes. I'll tell you a bit of stories. He used to gather us together in our Sunday school classes, and nobody missed these Sunday school classes. In fact, my brother even came this morning because he taught my brother as well. My brother lives in Spruce Grove. He heard that Charles Brown was here. That's how he just wanted to be here, okay? He used to divide us into teams, and so it wouldn't be surprised if he actually divides us into teams this morning, and he asks us questions, and he gives us prizes and stuff, and he brings his handcuffs, and he'd handcuff the bad kids to the chairs and stuff like that. But I remember that I preached my very first sermon in his Sunday school class. He wanted to get some of the older kids to prepare a devotional, and so he encouraged me, and I kept saying, no, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that. He said, you got to do this, I know you can do it. And finally I said, just three minutes, just get up and do this devotional. And so I got up and gave this devotional from James, "Your life is a vapor that appears for a short time and then vanishes away." And then he was so encouraging, and he said, "You got to do that for the rest of your life." Ta-da, here I am, doing it for the rest of my life. So, Charles, why don't you come, and I'm going to pray for you, and I'm excited to see Philippians through your eyes. You're going to kind of land on the theme of joy in Philippians eventually, and I'm going to pray for you, because you, I'm sure, pray for me many times. God, thank you for Charles. Thank you for how he's been influential in my life, and thank you for what you've been teaching him through the book of Philippians. And I pray, Father, today that as he opens the word, that you would speak through him to our hearts and teach us something about yourself. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Now, just my mic. I'm not sure. Is my mic working, by the way?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, very good.
Did you turn it on?
I did.
Okay.
It's on, right? I guess I didn't turn it on.
Yeah, it is on.
Hello?
There we go. Just push it a little closer to your mouth.
My wife says my mouth is big enough. Folks, I just want to say thank you for allowing me to come here this morning and speak with you guys. I look forward to this with trepidation, though. I had a month's notice. Pastor Foster gave me a month's notice, says, "Charles, would you like to do this?" And I said, "I'd love to do this." I didn't even hesitate to say that. But when I thought about the dynamics of preaching and teaching, the responsibility of preaching in the manner that it would be pleasing to God, that became a little more trepidation to me in regards to getting the word right. I want to start off, first of all, put my glasses on, and thinking about what Brent had just mentioned to you guys, how I affected his life. And I want to talk a little bit about that in regards to the joy of the Lord and how the joy of the Lord can impact somebody and how it impacts our lives and how perhaps I impact Brent. When I thought about that, if you look at Brent's life as a sentence, Brent's life was impacted right from the get-go when he was just a young man, a young boy, And he was influenced by his granddad and his grandmother, who were very much involved with the church. And you guys are probably you guys probably know about his past history. His granddad and his grandmother were very much involved in the church and very much involved in preaching, teaching the Word of God. And that influenced his mom, Lois. And Lois is very involved in the church, and it impacted his life. I became a Sunday school teacher at a young age in his life there. And yes, maybe 5 or 6 years I was with him, but I was actually just a period at the end of his sentence. The big patriarchs of his life was his granddad, and his grandmother, and his mother, and his dad. And I come along, and I was kind of like a period that made him pause a bit to say, who am I, and where am I going, and what do I want to do with my life? And whatever I said one particular day, it made him pause, and he began his journey with Christ in big ways. And he influenced his school, his public school, back in Middleton, and started a Bible study there. Folks, just give me a second here to organize my notes. I started my notes a month ago, and I've changed it so often. And I'll start here with my introduction. You had a little glimpse of who I am. And, of course, I'm a little more than just this Sunday school teacher, former Sunday school teacher, and where I've been. And I want to tell you, my name is Charles Brown, as you already heard that from Pastor Foster there. And when I was growing up, I grew up in a place called Cape Breton. Any Cape Bretoners here? Any from the, oh, just two people from the Maritimes here, by the way. They introduced themselves as, I am from New Brunswick. You're from New Brunswick. Oh, was it your dad I was speaking with? There was somebody here from New Brunswick. He said, where in New Brunswick? Cumberland Bay. I never heard of it. Okay. And it's always good to see somebody from the East Coast. My wife and I just visit from the East Coast. We were there for 2 weeks, and we really enjoyed our time there in the East Coast. And our daughter still lives there. My mom lives in Cape Breton. She's still alive and well. And Faye's, my wife's, her name is Faye. And her parents live in PEI. So we get to see all the Maritimes. As you heard, the name Charles. I emphasize on Charles because when I grew up way back, well, way back, you know. And the name Charlie Brown was a big thing back then. When I grew up amongst my people, my peers, being a bully was a thing to do, you know. And I was the one that got picked on quite a bit. And I was very much like the Charlie Brown character if you saw on TV or see on TV if it's still in existence. I would be the guy that actually missed that football, very uncoordinated. Even this morning I tried to reach out to Brent's hand, and his hand went that way, my hand went this way, and I'm still uncoordinated to that degree. But I've been a police officer for over 40 years now altogether. I was a police officer for 22 years in a place called Middleton, Nova Scotia, small municipal policing service there. And then I joined the RCMP back in 2000. I've been actually all over the world with the RCMP. I did some time in Afghanistan and also a place called East Timor, which is just above Australia. In those areas, one was a NATO mission, and the other one's a United Nations mission. And so I got to see a lot in my career. It is a great career. Has been a great career, and has brought me into the lives of many people, which I'm grateful for because, you know, being a Christian and touching the lives of people who have not met Christ Jesus and touching them from a point of view that they never thought would come from a policeman's voice or mouth in times of trials and struggles, disappointments, or disappointments with God. So I was glad that God has given me this journey of life as a police officer. And I've always been the one to be a police officer. When I was a little kid, I always had that desire. I said, I want to be a police officer. Not only that, I wanted to be a Mountie too. And I was wondering how in the heck that was going to happen because I wasn't that great in school. I actually repeated two grades when I was in my younger years, grade two and grade three. How could you fail grade two and grade three? I failed two, grade two and grade three. I was one of those guys that daydreamed all day long. And when the end of the year came, so, the end of the year, guys, did you know my ABCs by the time grade three came along? But eventually I caught on. I realized if I want to get anywhere else in life, I got to get me more focused. So I got focused, and I like to study, not just in the academics, but the Word of God. A little more introduction of myself is that I have one wife, as you know, my wife Faye, as I mentioned. I have two two children. My son Greg. Greg lives in Coal Lake, and that's what brought us to Lac La Biche. Some people, when I arrived in Lac La Biche, my members there says, "Well, why did you come to Lac, of all the places in Alberta or Canada? Why Lac La Biche?" Unknown to me, I didn't know what Lac La Biche was really about. Brent said that he was crying over a little bit about his seat in his car was soaking because he left the window down. If he had a car with his window down in Lac La Biche, it wouldn't be there when he goes to. It's a pretty busy community there. Just last summer, I came from northern Manitoba before I came to Lac La Biche, and in northern Manitoba, it was a small, isolated community. It had one store. You couldn't go anywhere whatsoever, and but it was quiet. We were lucky to get 5 calls a week for service. And when I came to Lac La Biche, the phone just wouldn't stop at ringing. It just kept on ringing and ringing. And last summer, it was a really bad summer. One day, I come to the office. I was turning the key, and I said, "Do I retire this year? Because I know how bad it can get." And we had 10 vehicles stolen in one night. That's how things. And Brent wants to go to Kikino. It's not far from Lac La Biche to go camping. Yeah. You may want some help there, Brent, in regards to, there's other options out there. Folks, I want to talk on a serious note, if I can, but yet do it with joy in the Lord, because that's the theme of Philippians. And when I first started my journey in Christ, when I started my journey, I started off in the book of Philippians many years ago. What drew me there, what got my attention in where I'm at today was through a book called Positive Think, The Power of Positive Thinking. Does anybody know about that book, The Power of Positive Thinking? Who is the author? Norman Vincent Peale. Norman Vincent Peale was a pastor many years ago, and he created this book out of Philippians. It says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And he authored that book back in 1957, before I was born. I was before I was born back in 57. And it captured my attention, Philippians, "I can." Because as I mentioned to you, my name was Charlie Brown. I never got away from it. And I had a difficulty in school. And I had lack of self-confidence in myself to even preach and teach or teach Sunday school. And here I was going to be a police officer. And this was the start of the very journey of my life. And I open up this book and it says, The Power of Positive Thinking. And Norman Vincent Peale took a cookie cutter phrase, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And I embraced that. It's like that coffee cup that Brent had mentioned in another service, because I watched his service on whatever that thing you have on, it's not on TV, but what is that, some kind of a, but anyways, I saw that service, and he talked about coffee cups, taking little words, phrases from the Bible, and it's on your coffee cup. Well, I do have a teacup. I don't drink coffee very often, but I drink tea. And my coffee cup or teacup is a picture of John Wayne. And inside the cup, it says, gives me a definition of courage. And it says, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyways. And with those two things in mind, back in my day, John Wayne was Captain America, where you guys have those Marvel series, Spider-Man, all that. John Wayne was my hero at that time. And with those two things, it was part of my developmental of moving forward and facing my own inequities, trials and struggles, to be where I'm at today and to preach with somewhat, maybe a little bit of confidence, although I have a little bit of fear in me to do this right this morning. I got so many thoughts in my mind right now as to where I want to start, but the joy of the Lord, as you already know, is the outline theme in Philippians. And Paul had many reasons to be not so joyful, because he was writing this from his, I was going to say cave, but he was from his cells. And he was tied, perhaps, maybe had liberty. I'm not sure how what his dynamics were in his cells. But he was writing a letter to encourage the Philippians. And that's what I'm hoping that I may do for you folks today, offer some encouragement, and so that you may leave here with some gems that has affected my life, as I apparently affected Brent's life and actually Kenny's life as well as a Sunday school teacher. I might have calmed down a bit since Brent and Kenny, when I had them as Sunday school teachers, because I used to jump and up and down and yell at them, not yell up and said, "You're a bad kids," but yell just to be excited. And that's where Brent gets the idea of being insatiable, consumed by Christ. I haven't lost that. I don't think I have. And so let me just give me a little testimony of that case. It is my habit, when I meet people on the street, and when I'm in uniform, I mean, when I meet them on the street, I engage in conversation with them, and I hear many things on the street, and you can imagine some of the things. One guy saying something about another guy selling drugs, or somebody's talking about tragedy that came into their lives, or something about suicide or mental health. And I engage in conversation with them to find a little bit about themselves, and then when I walk away from them, I often would say, "God bless you." Three words that can impact anyone. Anyone, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. And I want to challenge both those people here this morning, if you are here, if you're a Christian. I'm hoping that you're one of the active Christians and not just a Christian in name and only. But a "God bless you" is not just a phrase of "God bless you." It means more than that. Back in the day when Moses had met with God, established where the Israelites were going, and established his priesthood, his royal priesthood, and God asked Moses, says, "Look, this is what I want you to tell Aaron to bless the people with." And I'm just flipping through here I just lost my place as to where that's at. I knew that would happen. Oh, okay. It's in Numbers, number 26. And it says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." When we say those words, "God bless you," this is what we're saying in essence, because we all want to be blessed. I don't care who you may be, how rich you may be, how poor you may be, how difficult you may have. We all want to be blessed, but we want to be blessed by God, who is outside the realm of anyone else who can bless us more than we can ever ask for. When you look at Paul's writings to in any of his letters,
He opens up his letters and he closes his letters with this, with these words: God bless you, may God have mercy upon you, may the peace of God be upon you, may his goodness shine upon you. Paul mentions that at the beginning of his letters, and he mentions that at the end of his letters in some form or not. Paul used the authority that he has, that you have, that I have, to as a Christian, to bless other people. And why do we want that to happen? We want to impact people in a good way. We want safety in our community. If I'm making that jump from where I'm coming from right on this one here, I was mentioning to you a little bit about how things are in Lac La Biche. And things are not as good, perhaps. Maybe Gibbons is not, doesn't have the crime rate here as we do in Lac La Biche, but it's quite high. And we're one of the busiest detachments. We're out of all the detachments in Alberta, Lac La Biche is the third busiest. And there, we have some very nice evangelical churches who preaches the word of God. And I was hoping to get involved with one of those churches, and we're somewhat involved with a Free Alliance church that's there now, Free Evangelical Church, isn't it, Faye? And Pastor Emmanuel, a black guy who really knows the Lord and really preaches the Word of God. And so we went there, and we see all these people there. We see hundreds of people at this church, and then we go to another church because we're looking for a church. We go to another church, and there's about a couple, maybe 100 there, and we go to another church, maybe not so many. But these are evangelical people who say they know Christ Jesus, and yet when I walk the streets of Lac La Biche in my uniform, I hear nothing about making Jesus famous. Making Jesus famous. If we're going to make Jesus famous, we who claim Christ as Lord and Savior must utilize what God has given us, the ability to bless. And it's not us that's actually blessing, it is God that does the blessing, because it says here, the Lord bless you and keep you. Not Charles Brown, not Brent Foster, not Kenny Foster, not any one of you. None of you can really bless outside yourselves but God. But you can pronounce what God wants upon you. God desires to dwell with you and live with you and impact your life and be a blessing unto others. And it says, the Lord bless you. I want to be blessed. When I was a little boy, and my dad was a milkman. And back then, a quart of milk was in a bottle, and it was about 32 cents a quart for a quart of milk. And I was on the milk truck, and Dad will go into the stores, and he will send me down to the house and says, Charles, I want you to go down to that house and deliver, take a bottle of milk there. And of course, they would have an empty bottle of milk on the step. And in the bottle itself, it would have 32 cents. So I love my dad, and I want to be do good. And so I run down with a bottle of milk, and I put it there and put the money in my hand. And I'm walking back to where my dad would be delivering these big boxes of milk into the store. But as I'm going there, here's this old lady in black clothing. And she was old, and she was bent down. And she reminded me of that, you know, Snow White. And you know that girl, that lady was giving the apple to Snow White? She looked just like her, okay? She looked just like her. So you're kind of stopped. You're a little boy, right? You're kind of stopped just by the image. But she comes up to me, and she says to me, can I get some money? I'm hungry. And she looked hungry. And I had this money in my hand, and I'm looking at her, and I'm looking at Dad, because I know that Dad would want me to give him that money back, okay? But I felt sorry for this lady. I didn't know her. She looked desolated. And I'm maybe 12 years old. I'm gonna go, look, Dad, okay. Dad's busy right now. Maybe he'll forget to ask me. So I gave her my money. And this is where the impact comes. She said to me, God bless you. She's going to bless me at that age. Now, I was brought up in a Catholic family, went to church. I'm familiar with the lingo, okay, of religion. But here's this older lady, and her words, God bless you, impacted me in such a way, it kind of opened up my mind, and I felt that I got blessed more from that words that she conveyed to me rather than the money that I gave her. Now, I have a problem. I don't have the money, and my dad is in the store, and my dad is a bit of a guy, that a bit of a temper at times, a lot of times. And I said, what am I going to do? I'm going to go there, and I hope he forgets, because we got other places. And, well, it ended up is that he did forget, and I didn't have to explain myself. And to this day, he doesn't know. he passed away, so maybe he's... Sorry about that. Anyways, my point is, folks, is that if we're going to make Jesus famous, we need to use the breath of God that God has given us. We have breath, and it comes not because of us, because God gave it in the beginning. And not only that, with this breath of God, we are created in the image of God. All right, that makes us really unique and special. And we need to use that. We need to use that to touch someone, and it's so simple. I was in my office not too long ago when I first arrived there, a year ago in Lac La Biche. This native gentleman, very close to his creator, very spiritual man. We got to hug each other, and I'm showing him out the door, and his name is Wally Sinclair. And I said, Wally, God bless you. Well, the girl that's not far away from me heard me say this several times because he just seemed like I couldn't get him out the door fast enough because I had lots of work to do. And I said, God bless you. I said, God bless you. Finally got him out. And she looks at me, don't people get mad at you for saying things like that? I said, no, people, I got two things I can do. I can bless someone or I can curse someone. And you know what? I want to bless someone. I want to bless you folks by being here today, if I can, in any way. And that's where we can have the joy of the Lord in our heart if somebody grabs onto something in our lives and it changes their lives or changes the trajectory of their lives. I'm sorry about talking about police work a lot, but I need to tell you about real people and how it affects people's lives. A number of years ago, this guy by the name of Wade Parsons, if you look him up on Google, you'll see his name. Wade Parsons was a big black man. And him and three other members came up from Halifax, went into a house in Middleton, Nova Scotia, did a home invasion, and stole countless of coins that were priceless overall. And this coin collection was built up over the years. And the fellow who owned these coins, his name was Ed Fry. I don't know if these names are familiar to you guys or not. But I was a plainclothes investigator, and I had to go find out who is responsible for this. Now, as I'm doing my investigations and lining up my evidence and putting things together, I come to find out that this guy by the name of Wade Parsons is responsible with these three other guys coming up from Halifax, doing a home invasion, taking all what the value of these coins were and taking them off to Halifax with them. When I was doing my investigation, as I mentioned, I had other police officers come to me and say, Charles, this guy is bad. He is really bad. You'll never get anything out of him. And of course, that wasn't helping me in it because I'm by myself. I don't have a partner. I'm plain clothes. I'm in this foreign area, Halifax, because Milton is a small little area. It's like Gibbons. It's small. Yeah. Well, Gibbons may be a little bigger than Milton, but it's still small in comparison to Edmonton. Okay, so I'm by myself. And I look around Halifax, and I get a call back from these guys who said, this guy is bad. He said, yeah, he's back here at the detachment. You come and get him. So I said, okay. And I'm a Christian at this time. I'm a Christian, and I practice, and I already got the power of positive thinking into me. And, oh, yeah, there's another book by that guy. His name, Enthusiasm Makes a Difference. But nevertheless, I got all these things that go through my mind. And I pray to God, God, please help me to be an influence to him if I can. Anyways, I drive up, and sure enough, do you guys ever watch The Green Mile? Anybody that knows the Green Mile? Do you know the black guy that in Green Mile, how big that guy is? He was huge, wasn't he? Well, that's what this guy looked like. He was huge. And he was a boxer. Wade Parsons was a boxer. Okay, so you look up Wade Parsons, boxer, professional boxer. So I put him back in my police car and like, oh my land. So I got 155 kilometers to travel from where I am and when I picked him up to where I have to go. And I don't know where to start with this guy. I don't know this guy at all, other than what the people previously said, he's bad, Charles. He won't talk to you. So my strategy as a police officer, I decided to talk to him. And I began to talk and talk for 155 kilometers most away. And he was one of those guys that, you know, he had a hard life, but I didn't know his journey of life, what made him what it was today at that time. So I arrived back at my office probably at 11 o'clock in the morning because I left earlier that day, and I spoke to him until about 10 o'clock that night. And the thing that touched him, that made him tell me his sins, if I can say it in those words, was Christ Jesus. Now, he wasn't a Christian, but he heard about Christ. And he talked about, as soon as I brought Christ into the conversation, he brought me to his grandmother, in a sense. He says, My grandmother was religious. My grandmother taught me about Christ. I know about Christ. And that gave me the premise for me to talk to Wade. And I said, Wade, you can change everything that has happened to you. God can start all over again. And and remember, this guy's a big guy. Remember that guy in Green Mile. And he became very mellow. And of course, I'm not in uniform. I'm in plain clothes. He forgets who I am. And because I had that common denominator, he began to tell me about his life and how things were and what brought him to where he is at that time. And a lot of it had to do with drugs. And that's a lot of problems we have in Lac La Biche. Drugs, cocaine, fentanyl, there's more than I can name. Alcohol on top of that, it's just mayhem up there. But where I'm going to make a long story short, but it's hard to say, because he's still in my mind. So the common thread impacted him in such a way that he told me exactly what had happened and who was with him, and I was praising the Lord because I solved the crime, but I was also praising the Lord that I have got him to think about Christ and starting over again. Make old things new. Forget those things which are behind, what Paul says in Philippians. I forget those things. I don't care what happened in the past. I don't care how good of a man I was. I don't care how good of a Jewish man I was. I forget those things. That all is rubbish. He said poop. I heard him say poop on one of his services there. All that stuff matters nothing. And Wade did go to court and pleaded guilty. But it was a sad ending in the end. Addiction is very strong in any community. And Wade just could not get away from his addiction, from cocaine. He ended up killing three people. And he ended up being killed himself in jail with an ice pick. And that's sad. But folks, there are people in your community, in Gibbons, who you run into from day to day and not say a word about God's blessings upon them. Folks, we need to bless people. Well, again, when I said again, I got to put myself in check there. We need to be a conduit of God's blessings to the people by saying those simple words, God bless you. When you go to a cash register, my wife is a cashier, and you go to a cash register and that person says, have a great day. How often you hear that? How great day. You know what? I have no control how good my day is going to be. I really don't. But I do have the ability, and you have the ability to be an influence or shed some virtue on someone because you have the authority to bless someone. But you have no power in the authority you have unless you be in the presence of God himself. And this is where discipline comes in. If we wanted to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, we need to spend time in the morning and in the evening if you can. If you can. I get up between 10 to 4 and 4 o'clock every morning. Every morning, because I know that I know not who the day, I don't know how the day will be. I know not who I may come into, but I know that if I come into the presence of God, meditate on God's word in the presence of God, and try to hear the voice of God in the word of God so that it can impact me, so I can impact that person. I have no idea. It could be somebody in my office. It could be my boss. When I'm in my office, sometimes something good happens. I would yell out and spontaneously, I said, praise be to God in my office. My guys and girls who were have never heard that before. Praise be to God. Folks, you need to praise God in open form, in public form. If something that's touched your heart has made joy in your heart, praise God in front of anyone and everyone. Part of my morning regimen, after I do my Bible study and prayer time, is that I go to the gymnasium. And I meet this lady who's behind a desk who gives me a towel and so I can use it after the gym. And I engage in conversation with her every time before I go. Her name is Helen. And I said, Helen, God bless you. Whatever I might say, I would always, God bless you. And it's been impacting her. There's a guy I work out with it. His name is Dale. And I said, Dale, God bless you. But it doesn't reciprocate, but I know that he has gravitated towards me, that he has invited me to come to his house and visit him. And yesterday I would try to find his house, but I couldn't find it. Some police officer I am, eh? But nevertheless, my wife thought I was taking her for a ride. I was looking for this guy's house, and I couldn't find it. But folks, it's so simple, eh? We have this breath. It doesn't belong to us. We have knowledge of the Word of God. We know that God is good, as I saw somewhere here. God is good. Oh, roar. There's a line up there, and it says, God is good. God is good. But we need to project that, folks. We can't be silent. Too many people are hurting up there. People need to know who they can go to find healing other than a pastor. Pastor Foster is the leader of this assembly of believers, and he can nurture you in the Word of God, and he could teach you the Word of God, but it's up to you to go to the presence of God and seek what he has for you, for your life, for your journey, for the point that you are in your life. God blesses you, not just so that you could be blessed, but God blesses you so that you could bless other people. Remember Jesus and those small little fishies and those little loaves of bread? Well, those fishies and little loaves of bread may have been just for the disciples at the time, but when Jesus blessed, it spreads out in multitudes. Jesus took that fish, took that bread, and he looked up to God. He went to God the Father, and he says, God bless you, thank you. And as a result of that, he was able to feed thousands of people out of those small fishes and bread. Folks, when you meet with the Lord, please, Lord, please, please, please meet with him in the morning of your day. Some of the guys, you guys might work shift work, but whatever the morning of the day is, if you have to sleep, my daughter, she's a paramedic, and her shift work, she may end the day at 7 in the morning. So it would be her end of her day. So it's difficult to have that beginning of the day at the beginning of the day. But whatever the beginning of the day is, spend time in the presence of the Lord, and not 5 minutes. Don't allow the daily bread be your only guide. Allow the daily bread, if you're using that as a tool, and it's just a tool, to give you a knowledge of what the Word of God may be saying to you. But really seek God out and find and say in your mind, who is God, and who am I worshiping, so that I, so the people who I come in contact with may know that I have been in the presence of God, like Peter and John. Remember Peter and John? They're just coming towards the temple. They want to worship God. And as a result, Peter and John was able to heal a guy who has been crippled all his life. Folks, we do not know what virtue comes out of us when we bless someone, because I do not know this gentleman right here with the lady with the, I don't know what his needs are. God knows what his needs are. But if I went up to him and I touched him, and I've been in the presence of God, and I know I've been in the presence of God, God will bless him. I promise you, I promise you, I promise you. God will bless him, because this is what you're saying to him. God, Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon me. I want God's face to shine upon me. That's what Moses, when Moses met with God, he says, God, I want to see you. God, I want to see your glory. And God said, well, all right, but you can't see my face. No one sees my face and shall live. And this is what God, when God put Moses in a place, it was called the cleft of the rock, this is what God said about himself. This is what God said himself about himself. I am the Lord, Yahweh. I am gracious and merciful. I am long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. This is God saying about himself. I keep mercy for thousands. I forgive iniquity and transgressions and sins. Folks, you know that what my occupation is. But if you really knew me, you would know that I am weak as a worm. I am so weak as a worm. David said that. I relate to that. I am vile as the dust of the ground. I know that I'm vile as the dust of the ground, because I've been created from the dust of the ground. And the only thing that gives me life is the breath of God who breathed into me, the breath of life. And often I feel I'm as stable as unstable as water. These are the three things if you really got to know me. As a result of these things, many of people in the communities are like that by nature. It's our nature. We have a desire. We're one of those people like, don't do it, and we do it. Paul said it in Romans. Says, I do what I don't want to do. What I don't want to do, I do. You know, he was being ambivalent about he shouldn't be doing what he shouldn't be doing. He does. But you know where I'm going with that. It's a whole read. But that's, he was explaining, that's what we were all about. Lord, people, I need you to help me, to help my community, to seek God, as I mentioned to you, and be peacemakers. Remember Jesus anointed his 70 disciples, and he says, look, when you go to someone's house, offer your peace upon that house. Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. And Paul says, may the peace of God always be with you. Our communities are falling apart in a big way. I got an email from our assistant commissioner of the RCMP. We all got it. All the RCMP members got a letter, this email. It says, Alberta, which we call K-Division, he says, is the most violent community, a violent province of all the provinces there is in Canada. Alberta is. And when I was thinking about this and I was preparing for my message, why is that so? Why is K-Division, why is Alberta the most violent province in all of Canada? Now, we can come up and say, oh, economic turndown, or we just say people are just bad, or we can just say, yeah, people are mistreated and it's just vengeance again. But folks, it is because perhaps you and me have been kept silent and we have not introduced God in our conversations. We need God. We need the joy of the Lord. We have to tell people why we have the reason of God in our lives so we can touch their lives. Oh, where am I going at, Brent? Because I said I won't be very long. But but folks, I'm excited. I'm excited to be here, but excited to tell you this. But this works. People need to hear about Christ in the most simplest way. As I mentioned about registers or cashiers, I do it all the time. If I go through Sobeys, I would say to that girl, even though she says, have a great day, I would say, God bless you. No matter who it is, I would say, God bless you. And that impacts them. And I want you to impact, if I had more of you people on Citizens on Patrol, if I can put it that way. We have Citizens on Patrol. We have crime watchers and stuff like that there. And we do our best, but if we had people filled with the spirit of Christ, of giving away everything that Christ gave. Christ gave everything away. We need to give what God has given us. When God blesses our daily bread, there is so much bread that for you to give away that others can eat and feed on and grow by, encourage, and be strong and have that confidence. I can. By the way, can I just go off at a beaten path a little bit here? Even though that book, The Power of Positive Thinking, was good for me at that time, my journey of life tells me that it's not I can. It's through Christ, I can do all things. Because not all things are available for me to do unless it's God ordained. I can't be an astronaut. I just don't have the ability. So once I tell myself, I want to be an astronaut, but I failed grade 2 and 3. Oh, I'm off. Okay, I'm off. You know, off the list altogether. I don't even get past goal. But it's through Christ. Remember who Christ is. He is the invisible God. He is. He is the invisible God, the creator of heaven and earth, things visible and invisible. All things were created through him and for him and by him, and all things are consistent because of him. Folks, we need to give that away. We need to start someone so we can touch the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, in a gentle way. Paul mentioned that in Philippians, in a gentle way. Let them see your gentleness. Folks, there are so many ways we can make that happen and to make Jesus famous. In my office, if you came in my office, you'll see Bible on my desk. That puts everybody at, everybody, I got my own office there, by the way. They go by us. Oh, the Bible, they'll go right by me. But they can't stop me from praising God because I praise God. My boss the other day, we had to give schedule people to go work in the fires. I had to go up in Wabatska a couple weeks ago, and I had to stay there and do fire duties. So now the high level had their fires. We had scheduled people to go there. And because I'm charge of operations, I was scared that to send people out there because we have our own problems back at home instead of sending our members away. And so anyways, a little bit of good news came in. They said, hey, the fires are kind of diminished. I went to my boss and said, praise be to God moment. We don't have to send anybody out there. That, just again, those three words, praise be to God, is impacting my boss. He knows where I'm coming from. He knows what I'm saying. He knows his lack of, because he's a heathen. I say that respectfully. And what I want to say here, look, just give me a second here, and I'll finish up pretty soon. We started at 10, didn't we? Yeah, yeah. Kenny said, yeah, we did, Charles, get going. In Malachi chapter 1, verses 11, it says here, from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name, this is Old Testament, this is God speaking, my name shall be great among the Hebrews, no, among the Gentiles. And in every place, it goes on saying, in every place, incense shall be offered. Where am I at? Unto my name. My name shall be great among the heathen, says the Lord. That's what it says right there. Malachi 1:11. We need to be the incense of God's presence. We need that incense. We need God's blessings upon his word in our minds so that whatever proceeds out of our mouth, we can build someone up. Paul says, let's build each other up. We need to build each other up as a body of believers. One more thing real quickly. When I think about the body of believers, and when I think of a body, I think of my body, I think of, this is Brent right here. Brent is the head, okay? He's the one that talks. Part of that, I feel that of all my talents, which I don't have any, I feel like I'm like the baby toe. And if that's be the case, I want God to bless that baby toe so I can hold up the church, the body of God. I want to be the best. If you feel like you don't have the talent, I'm with you. I'm in your corner. I know what it feels like not to have any talent. But with this breath, I would use that as a talent. Like I got a gift of gab at times, but I'll use it to praise God. And I want you to use it to praise God. It's because if I'm going down the street and I'm praising God, I want you to come this way and I want you to praise God. And when you praise God and I praise God, we cause collateral blessings for a target that wasn't intended. We have collateral damage in war, targets where people get killed unintentionally, and it's called collateral damage. We have collateral blessings. People, when we speak of God's praises in season, as it, no matter what, people are hearing. I got approached by a guy in church not too long ago at the church in Lac La Biche. Oh, I know you. You're the guy that blesses people. And the police officer, I meant. I said, yeah. I wanted to give him a long story onto that. I said, I am. But he heard me at some point uptown when I was walking, shaking somebody's hand perhaps, and I said, God bless you. But I say it with emphasis, God bless you. I don't go, just so I can say it. Say God bless you because you know what God has done for you. God is good. I know God has brought this vile person that I am, and he's washed away my sins. Praise be to God. He washes away your sins. We got much to share, and we got much to build people up and one another up. And if we use what God has given us, then maybe we can become crime busters and reduce our crime because we're putting the perfume, the smell, the fragrance of God in our community. And that's my challenge to you folks. Please, Lord, just speak out. So simple words, God bless you, but you be mindful of this. You can't bless the people with empty words. It must be filled. It must be touched by God. You must be touched by God in the morning. If the birds sing God's praises in the morning, how much, and in the evening, how much more you are created in God's image and I'm creating God's, how much more should we be offering God praises? The first thing in the morning. Don't even talk to your wife first thing in the morning. Not that you're mad at her, right? Just go away, go downstairs where I go, and I get away from everything. Don't even turn on TV. Don't even look at my phone to see how many messages I need to address. I go seek God, and I'm usually there for an hour and a half before I go to the gym. And then I go to the gym, I can fist bump and say, hey, God bless you. And I mean it. I'm serious. And people take notice. That's what you want. You want to make Jesus famous? That's how you start. Folks, thank you for allowing me to be here. I got lots more to tell you because I didn't even talk about this guy. I didn't even talk about that because the time doesn't allow me because I want to tell you what I need. I need your help. Help me to help my community to mitigate crime, to talk about the healer who can heal our souls of our rebellion and come to the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. You guys are going to participate in communion. It means so much, and you know it. I know that you know that, but I do ask God's blessings upon you. Folks, let us bow and pray. Prayer. Almighty God, I know and we know that you are most merciful and gracious. And I say, praise be to God, Lord, praise be to God, Lord, for all your long sufferings. Even as a Christians, Lord, we have much to be sorrowful of our shortcomings, of our transgressions, our iniquities, our foolishness, and our stupidity. Father, have mercy upon us, and you are merciful. And I pray in the name of Christ Jesus that you bless each and every one of us. We need you, Lord, to touch the hearts and souls of men and women, boys and girls, Lord. Because I know, Lord, we know, Lord, that you love us. And you love all those who are created in your image. And Lord, help us to have the Spirit of Christ to minister and serve and touch and heal. These things, Father, we ask in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks, for allowing me. And I never even referred to my notes. That's just the way it was. That's God bless you, folks.
Thank you, Charles, for blessing us. I think that was the theme. Bless others, man. And you can see why we never missed a Sunday school class, right? His joy for Jesus is infectious. And it was exactly like those Sunday school classes that I remember, you know, all scattered everywhere, but just passion for Jesus. So thank you for sharing. I just want to focus our thoughts here just for a few minutes before we come around the communion table. This is a meal with Jesus in the spiritual sense, right? He's here in our hearts. He's here in the spiritual sense, and we're coming to have a meal with him. He's told us to remember what he did for us on the cross. And I asked you last week to consider a question as we wrap up this series, and it's fitting today. What do I need to surrender to Jesus? What do I need to surrender to Jesus? I just want to take us to Philippians, to six verses. It's kind of that main chunk of scripture in Philippians 2, that famous hymn that Paul quotes in Philippians chapter 2, just to focus our hearts as we come around the communion table. This is talking about Jesus. It says, have the same mindset of Christ. It says this, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is what they call the great humiliation and the great exaltation. The great humiliation, because God, as we explained a couple weeks ago, he left the awesomeness with the Father, and he came to this earth, and we have the Christmas story and the Good Friday story in there. He became a human being, and he died on the cross, and that's what we remember here. But then there's the great exaltation. God exalted him. He rose from the dead, and he is the name above every name. Remember how we said when he came the first time, he made himself nothing, and when he comes the second time, he's going to make himself the only something worth knowing. And that's what we remember when we come around the communion table. Jesus surrendered everything for us. You get that? Jesus surrendered everything for us. He left the Godhead to come to this earth to provide a way so that we can know God by faith through him. So I'm going to ask, what do I need to surrender to Jesus? Is it a unity issue that we've talked about? Is it a joy issue? Is it a gentleness issue? Is it a worry issue? Is it a thought life issue? Is it a works-based salvation issue where I think I need to earn approval in God's sight? Is it a money issue? Maybe it's a mouth issue, as Charles was saying here, where you just need to free your mouth up to say to people on the street, God bless you. Or maybe you found yourself insatiably consumed with things other than Jesus. What do you need to surrender to Jesus? I want to give you some space here. Just in a moment of silence, just you and Jesus, because you're going to have a meal with him, and pretend the meal's already ordered and it's bread and juice here and it's going to be prepared and it's going to come back here in a moment, and you're going to have a conversation with him in your heart. What do you need to surrender to Jesus in order to make his name famous? Let's take a moment of silence, and let's let Jesus talk with you. Let Jesus start the conversation, and then just give that over to him. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. I'm going to ask the elders to come. in this moment, and then I'll close that time off in prayer. But let's just take a moment of silence and talk with Jesus. What do I need to surrender to Jesus? Let's do that. Jesus, as we come to commune with you at the end of this journey through Philippians, you've been prodding at our hearts and you've been transforming us to be more like your image. And right now you're placing your finger on something in our lives that you want to have control over. And Lord, we just want to surrender it to you and give it to you and ask, Lord, that you'd fill us with your spirit and replace it with a passion to serve you and love you. And as we come around this table together, I pray, Lord, that you would even come even closer to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the elders to start handing out the bread. And I'm just going to ask you, as we worship here, just hold on to the bread. And we're going to partake together after everyone has had their piece. And this is an alliance table. This is a Christian table. So if you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, please come to the table with us.